I've called this, for lack of a better word, better phrase, the sacrament of the present moment. The sacrament of the present moment. There was a book that I enjoyed many years ago by Jean-Pierre de Caussade, 300 years ago to be exact, when he coined this. He came up with the phrase, the sacrament of the present moment. Really what he's saying is that we tend to get locked into either the day that my ship comes in, and so I'm always looking forward to that, you know, which is ahead, or I'm looking back and talking about the good old days, and the good old days have already gone, and they weren't actually all that good anyway, but we start living with those days. And so the secret, he said, of living for the Lord is to live in the present moment. And I have attempted to be doing that in the last number of years in my life, to somehow stay in the moment, because that's the best place to be. I think, when I think of people who are stressed, I think part of it is because they're stretched to one thing or the other. I think stress comes in two categories. Number one, things that we can and should control. You can't help those things. They just are part of life and living. And the second thing, though, is the things that we can control and should control, because they're under our ability to do so. But I think that when you are stressed, and it's not hard to get that. I've had moments where I didn't think I was all that stressful, but only to find out that I was really quite stressed. How many here, you've experienced stress? Yeah, it's a real thing. I read this, that stress kills people as much or more as poor health habits like smoking and drinking and alcohol or not exercising or trouble with your finances, relationships, on and on it goes. But what do you do when your stresses are greater than your strengths? That's the question. What do we do when our stresses are greater than our strengths? Well, we must learn to enjoy the present moment. That at this moment, I will focus on all the things that have to be done, all the things that should be done, all the things that people want me to get done and you want to get done. We have to say, I don't know how that's all going to work out, but I can't be living in every moment. I can only live well in the present moment. And I know this as a pastor, that many, 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 many people live in a constant mental stress. They're just completely covered by the agony of decisions, and they're crippled by that, and they don't know whether to turn to the left or what we heard this morning, it's to the left, to the right. But when you live in constant mental stress because of something your children are in or some financial thing or on and on it goes, there's a key word, I think, that helps us. And it's the word mindfulness. To be mindful of what's going on around you, what's going on around me. And to analyze it, if it's something I can change or is it something that I have to accept and just adjust accordingly. So we learn mindfulness, just looking around, and let me define it. This is the practice of learning to pay attention to what's happening to you from moment to moment. I'll say that again. This is the practice of learning to pay attention to what is happening to you from moment to moment. Mindfulness provides a potentially powerful antidote to the common causes of daily stress. So you just are able to say, okay, can't change that, can't adjust that at all. So I'm just going to go with the flow and believe that I'm going to focus on what this person sitting in front of me, just by example, this person sitting in front of me who is crying or in some kind of need, and I'm thinking down the road about that and what about this and what about that, when really the answer is to focus on the person just in front of you. God will have to look after the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. But for this moment, I'm going to focus on praying for you, or I'm going to listen to what you're saying so that I don't miss what God is doing and saying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. What a great passage. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, don't go there. When you get there, there's going to be enough things to worry about, to concern yourself about. There will be issues. There will be things that upset you. And all you can do is do not be anxious about tomorrow. So somebody said, What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to just trust the Lord. Or shouldn't you be doing something? Shouldn't you be, maybe you don't understand how severe this is. No, I think I understand, but I'm just going to focus today, because I can be effective for that moment and trust God that the next moments, the Lord is already there looking after them. But I'm going to be mindful of what's going on around me. Mindfulness means letting go of any thought that is unrelated to the present moment and finding something to enjoy in the present moment. Does that make sense? Is that we just let go of all thoughts that are unrelated. If it's not related to this present moment that I'm in, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to hear, but I'm focusing just on this one thing. Many people do not live in the present moment. They're wishing for a different moment, either past or future. I'll be happy when. So, can you be happy now? No, it's just too upsetting. That happened. This, I don't know. I might lose my job. They're downsizing. This is happening. That's happening. And it's we could easy to get in that situation. But when I get a bigger place to live in, then I think it's going to be really good. Oh, I get that place. Or when I get that promotion, when I get that, boy, they're sure slow on it, but I get that promotion. Or when the kids are out of school, boy, thank God, that'll be a great day. Then my life will take on lots of meaning and purpose and so on. And when I pay off the bills, then it'll all be good. The reason I'm kind of smiling when I say this, because in our household growing up, I guess it was due to the alcohol and the war my father was in, and came back and really affected by the war. But it became that his ship was always coming in. For years and years and years, as a little boy to a teenager to an adult, he would say things like, "Hey, you stick with me, kiddo. We're going places." And I always thought that when the ship finally comes in, we'd be at the airport. Wrong place. But it was always coming. I mean, for years things were coming, but it never came. Ever. It didn't ever come. And I remember thinking about that. You can't live like that. I guess because the past was gone. His war years were the most significant part of his life, and he was decorated and everything, but afterwards, we were just living somewhere. It was kind of crazy living. And so, such is life. Or there's the future. All the things that I'm planning on doing. But then I can become a dreamer, and I'm not good to anybody. So mindfulness works differently than than a worldly approach. It trains your mind to let go of any thought that is unrelated to the present moment, to find something to enjoy in the present. So just say, okay, I'm just going to calm down here, trusting God for everything that's going to happen in the days ahead. And the stuff that's gone past, it's past. I can't do much about it. It's past. That train has left the station. I can't go there anymore. And I can't go too far forward. I must live in the moment, in the present moment, and enjoy it, and believing that God is already preparing what's ahead. And so when you walk, that's a great moment. When you feel stressed and agony about something, walking is one of the most mind-clearing. There's no mood you will ever be in that will not be improved by a walk. Isn't there just something about that? There's just something about going, you say, I'm just going to go for a walk. You say, why? Because I'll come back and my head will be clear and my mind will be clear. And it almost always is. It just improves your disposition for that moment. when you drive and noticing things. See, instead of speeding to your next destination, just to contemplate that, to think about that for a moment. The other day I was at Abbotsford on Friday and Saturday of last week, and I was here for Sunday morning, but drove in from Abbotsford at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was a great drive. I was almost pretty well on the road by myself. And I was able to pray for the service. I was able to pray for what was happening. I prayed for Marcel. Why? Because I had this hour. And so I said, well, I'm just going to prepare my heart. This is like a prayer meeting. And I'm all alone in it, but it's a wonderful thing. And got here and felt refreshed and full of the Lord. It was a good thing. So we pay attention to the beautiful scenery. Don't let that go by. But just to really say, wow, that's really lovely. It's really beautiful. Look at that. That's very nice. The chirping of birds. I said, yeah, it's therapeutic. The sound of rain. That was great this morning. Especially when we were waiting for rain to come. Thank you, Lord. I think it's still supposed to storm this morning, but we can contemplate that too. Warm sunshine. Relationships. There's thanking, just thanking God for the people in your life. It's a beautiful thing. And it's what we're made of. And so we live in the present moment, just focusing on the needs of people around us. So during work breaks, if you are on a work break, refuse to think about goals or tasks that are not part of the present moment. Just force yourself to do that, to move to that place. You have to stop at a light. I remember thinking at one time, the light. Argh. Oh, brother drivers, I'm the only non-idiot, apparently. Those idiots. Instead of saying, well, thank you, God, for this moment, it is a beautiful thing. The majority of people, you know that in third world countries, the majority of people, that car that you hate, you say, I got this old clunker, can't even get a nice car. You know the people in third world countries would love to have your car. They'd love to have your job. It's funny how that is. And so here's the word. The word of the Lord says, quit complaining about what you don't have. That's one of the secrets. I cannot think about what I don't have. I must trust God that all the right things will happen at all the right time. We can practice gratitude at almost any time, in any place, in anywhere, just to be grateful. So we be mindful of that which is going on around us at all times. Just say, what's going on here? Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to trust you for this moment. So Psalm 103, let me just read it from 1 to verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. These are the testimonies that we say, boy, I've got so much to be thankful for. At time to time, Marguerite is my neighbor, so she knows whether these things are true or not. Sometimes I wish our place was bigger. I said, yeah, I wish it was a bit bigger. I don't know, Marguerite, if you struggle, it's going to be exactly the same size place. But bigger, that'd be really good. And you start feeling discontented. And until the other morning, I was sitting outside before the rain came. I was sitting outside. Here it is. I have a nice drink with my. It's paradise. It couldn't have been any better. You couldn't improve it. I could have driven anywhere and would not have had such a beautiful spot. And I thought, Lord, forgive me for complaining. I got a wonderful place. And I can't let discontent, because that's how it starts, right? It starts inwardly, slowly. Oh, it's interesting. The Bible says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, which we do. Being thankful, refusing to complain about what you don't have. and not to be caught, you know, so you're obsessing about it. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, bring the sacrifice of praise continuously. That is the fruit of our lips. Say, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a night's rest. Thank you for food on the table. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for friends. Thank you for the best church in the world. God, thank you. I'm so rich with relationships. Thank you, God. You see what I'm saying? This is how you stay fresh. This is how you stay contented, because you're just giving God thanks for the blessings that he has given in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks. What am I doing so many times? I'm complaining. I'm comparing. I was content. You know how you see your place and you go shopping or you go to a furniture store and you go home and you kick your furniture? Seems so junky compared to that nice couch that so-and-so has in their house. And it's really funny because up to that point I was fine with it, right? But then we have these approaches that we take. So I think thankfulness and mindfulness will go a long way to erase the stresses of life. You will find that when you say, first thing, when say that bill comes, say, thank you, Lord. I don't know where that's going to come from, but I'm going to trust you. I bless you and I praise you for looking after me. I mean, I'm in the present moment. I'm not ignoring it, but I know I'm not, and then just living for the Lord, dealing with all the things without having stress overcome me. So living in the present moment by practicing over and over again. See, you can train yourself to be grateful. Whenever something kind of starts going wrong, you just begin to say, God, I give you praise, I give you thanks. I'm not going to be complaining or doubting. I think we do. I think God gives us about a 15-second window that we can bellyache. We can complain. He says, all right, ready, go. Because 15 seconds later, he says, now stop. In other words, some things, you get a report. Well, Caroline is sitting here. She's waiting for a report. And we need to lift her up in prayer as she's waiting for that time, from the doctor. And so knowing that the body of Christ is supporting her and lifting her up. You know, that'd be like $1 zillion to somebody who's waiting for the medical report, knowing that people are praying. And I trust you will, now that I've even said that, I trust you will pray for her. That she would just sense the arms of the Lord and get a good report. That's what we would pray. A good report. That would be wonderful. But meanwhile, to live in the moment, going to Starbucks, going for that walk, just doing the normal thing, staying present, not spinning off in some other direction, just staying present. And so we replace old thought patterns and perceptions with new ones. And I think that, you know, that I can recognize often stinking thinking in my life, where I'm focusing on bad things and things that didn't go and this thing, what so-and-so said, what said. Oh, my goodness. Yikes. You want to practice mindfulness and do it as quickly as you can, that you capture and you pull down those thoughts. I just thought, even here this morning, I think if each one of us here just took five things this morning, just right here, take five things that you're thankful for. You'll just improve your disposition. Just think of five things. It might be people, might be situations. But to live in the moment and give God praise and thanksgiving, just by really changing our perspective. Where I was thinking this way, and I was negative, and I was doubting, and I was worried, and I was anxious. Somebody says, isn't it kind of normal? Oh, it's normal. But when half the population of where we live is on pills because they're so anxious, that, you know, there must be some problem there, that we're not living the way that God would want us to, and that we would learn to live how he wants us to live. Not fools, not living in some fool's paradise, fully aware of the situation, knowing there's dangers, knowing this thing has to be, knowing they have to get a new washing machine, knowing that, you know, there's all kinds of things, they're legitimate things. But what I must not do is allow it to consume me, allow it to consume you, so that I can be free to minister to people. And that's all you can do. I mean, that's the best you can do. give God thanks and thanksgiving. So change your perspective. New thoughts. You reframe that whenever I feel worry coming on, that I send faith to the door. Lord, I'm trusting you. It's all in your hands. All in your hands. And that's why I thought 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 was particularly interesting. I know it, but I've used it in different settings, but it's about casting down. Casting down every imagination. There are some things that have to be cast down. That fear. You know, maybe it's turning 67. Yeah, that day. Turning 67, it made me think of something. I think I worry more about things now than I did when I was 16. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why that is. Does it go with the territory? You know, worried about it. It's so crazy. Because I don't remember being that way before. So I said, it must come. So I don't want that to be. I don't want to be a fearful person. So cautious that I can't even live. And so whether it's created because I had a birthday or maybe not, I don't know. All I'm saying is that I need to put, you had to pull those things down. Right? You pull those things down so you can live mindfully and reframe the old patterns to new paradigms. That I say every time that I worry about this or this or this. It's kind of crazy what you find yourself worrying about. It's just crazy. It doesn't make sense. So we cast down every imagination and being transformed by the renewing of our minds from Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That has to be constantly. So we're not living in the past. We're not too far down the future. We're living this moment and enjoying it to the full. Whatever God has in the other days, that's okay too. But I'm just got it right. I'm focused on the right thing. As I mentioned, reframe your thoughts. Pull down any stinking thinking that is going to make you negative. It's going to make you worry. It's going to make you concerned where you don't need to be, where God's looking after you. Right? God's looking after you. James chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials by various kinds. What kind of thinking is that? That's powerful thinking. So when we face something, we count it all joy, various kinds of troubles, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There's good stuff that comes out of here. And then to replace our thoughts with God's promises, that I'm choosing to be I'm choosing to be loving. And when I sense selfishness, to pull that down. It's a very powerful procedure. So, what does the Bible say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it come the springs of life. I must guard what's going on in my heart. Am I becoming loving or am I becoming a cranky old guy? Right, this is, I know, that's, there. If you don't watch these things, it will be a danger to you. It won't be good. And then secondly, meditate on the Word of God. That's what I find extremely helpful. For some people, after we've had a conversation with them, we say this, as I think we say this, I always feel exhausted talking to that person. Ever had that happen to you? Where you leave the, you know, you've had the conversation and you walk away or drive away. Whew. Wow. I'm exhausted. What's going on when that happens? If people walk away from me and they say, man, I thought we'd never get away from them. I thought, that can't be good. That can't be good. Don't be one of those people. You want to be able to say, you know, every time I talk to that person, I'm inspired. I'm encouraged. I really appreciated that, the optimism of that individual, that woman, that man. And so, don't let your negative attitude draw all your energy and draw your joy and draw your strength. If you are influenced by the wrong person, you will pick up their spirit. You will. I will. And so I'll say that again. Don't let negative attitudes of that person, that one who is draining, be careful about it. You can minister, you can be kind, you can be friendly, but you don't need, you don't want to be beyond that. It will drain you. You see, a negative attitude, just like it's contagious. A negative attitude is contagious. And you'll pick up the negativity. You'll pick up the critical spirit. You'll pick up the rebellion. You'll pick up the anger. You'll pick up the anxiety. You will. You won't even know it, but you just get infiltrated because those things permeate into your very being. And I can't afford that to happen. Neither can you can't afford to have that happen either. It's very, very contagious. So, because we take on people's characteristics over and over and over again. So, what do? Well, we choose attitudes and words of love and thankfulness and appreciation and humility, and we become this person that people want to be around because they draw strength. So we think on good, positive things. Here's a line. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Make that your goal. That you will, when you sense that coming on. And we meditate, of course, on the word of the Lord, on God's word. So, what does it mean to focus on the present? I think it means living each day as if it was the last. See, if this was my last day, I don't think I'd change too much. But I'm conscious that we think we have more time. What does he say? He says, your life, James chapter 4, verse 14, your life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes again. Oh, man. That's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long. You don't know. All you have is today. To live this day to the full, to enjoy every bit of it that you can, to be full of God's word, to look for ways to bless people, to stay in the present moment. Don't go back. Don't go forward. Just stay right now with what God is doing. By staying mindful of the present, thankfulness to God, And by reframing everything that happens to you according to the truth of God's word and saying, Lord, thank you for this, the sacrament of the present moment. You know that I'll never have another Sunday just like this? With you here and me here, all of us here? I'll never have another one like it. We're going to have one, then it goes on. There just isn't another one. This is it. But how powerful, how beautiful that I can thank the Lord for this present moment. Even the worry, it's okay to let worry hit you for a while because I may not be here long. It may not come back. I may never feel that again. So we draw all the strength we can from that. And then, of course, there is the power of joy and laughter. Something about laughing. I mean, I don't mean cackling as much as laughing. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Must remember that. The joy, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. A joyful heart is good. Proverbs says, like, is a good medicine. A broken spirit dries up the bones. But, oh, my goodness, good medicine, joyful heart, laughing. There ought to be more laughing than anything else, I suppose, when we gather together. Even when we were rejoicing this morning and dancing before the Lord. Isn't that, and joy fills the whole place. Isn't that wonderful how that is? Say, wow, what if it be part of joy? And it's not dead and awful, it's alive. And it's beautiful, it's powerful. I think that happiness is one of the keys to a long, satisfying life. I think it is. Just, you know, to decide that you're going to be happy. Make that choice. Make that choice today, in fact, that by God's grace, I choose happiness rather than anything else that I could choose. It's one of the keys. You know that happy people have fewer health problems. That's just proven. You have less health problems. Knowing that attitude always determines altitude. Depending how much I'm going to soar in the years ahead of my life will turn by my attitude. If I have a winning attitude, if I have an inspiring attitude, I can soar and be a blessing for years and years and years, and years as you can. But you must choose that you're going to your attitude. Your attitude will take you everywhere. They hire people who have attitudes that are positive. Ministry people are chosen because of attitudes. Positions are open because that's just how it works. That person who's contagious with joy and love and care and concern and appreciation and humility and who accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. You can't get enough of those kind of people. Imagine a church full of people that decided that joy was important and happiness was important. They're very powerful. And lastly, even when we suffer, we can choose to be joyful. Many, many a time I've gone to the hospital to visit somebody and thinking that I was going to have to muster up some encouragement for them, only to find out that they asked me if they could pray for me. It really throws you off, right? I got the oil already. I was going to pray for them. And now they're praying for me. That's great. So why is that? Why could we choose to be joyful? Because he's with us. He's with us. Even if somebody is suffering, going through a difficult time, there's been a divorce, there's been something, there's health issues or whatever, and they're hurting, but they can still be joyful. And that's a powerful thing. I think joy is the ultimate stress buster. We create a habit of happiness and laughter instead of a habit of worry. And that you don't want to be a worrywart. What is a worrywart now that I've said that? But you don't want to be that, a worrywart. So this joy, this ultimate stress buster. See, and here's the thought. What enters your mind will be reflected in your health. I give my body the greatest chance it can to be healthy just by guarding, the making sure that I'm not living with stress, pulling me down, casting all my care upon the Lord. That's part of it. I know I speak for many here. So what I want you to do, just as we close, we don't have time for our usual reflection moment, but that's okay. I want you to think just of a couple of things that you were overwhelmingly thankful for. Just want you to think about that, just for a moment. If it has to do with a person and they're here today, you might want to go up to them and say, it was you I was thinking about, and I just want you to know I'm really grateful for you. I'm glad you're in my life. Just take a moment, then we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for the sacrament of this present moment. May never happen again just like this. So we thank you for bringing us together. And Lord, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts for the things that we're grateful for. We thank you for our friendships. Thank you for the laughter in our church. Thank you for the care. Wonderful. We bless you. Lord, we're glad to be alive. And we just ask you that you would use us beyond our training, beyond our personalities, beyond everything. Lord, use us to touch lives. And I pray for someone here today who is feeling overwhelmingly stressed. Lord, as we gather around them, we pray that they would feel the joy of the Lord coming and the stress lifting. And we'll give you thanks that when we come to church, Lord, we cast all our cares. We cast all our cares away. We refuse today to worry about our problem. This is the day the Lord has made. And we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Caroline, I think you should come up and we'll pray. I haven't talked to her. The other day I just found out she was waiting for a report. Would you come? I think it would be a privilege for us to pray over you. With some of you, I will dismiss, by the way. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Please have a coffee. We'll join you out there in just a moment.